Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Comic-Con Stars. Dr. John
here. Good morning,
here.
Vietnam.
Good morning, Vietnam is right, Papa Stro. How are you doing tonight?
I'm just peachy. I'm just glad to be back with you guys again. I missed you all. Jeez. Seems like an eternity.
It has been. Apparently, our platform has its technological problems fixed, and everything worked perfectly. So I was thrilled.
From here to eternity, we're bamboozling.
That's right. Well, tell you what, Papa Stro, this past weekend, had an awesome time with you. You gave one of the best talks I've heard in a long, long time on Saturday night at Sticky Fingers in Concord Mills, where you talked about emotion in wrestling. And then Sunday, if you didn't top the thing when you were talking and you were moderating our panel discussion. So all I've got to say is three cheers to Papa Stro for entertaining, educating, and keeping everybody on their toes. Thank you so much.
Oh, it was a great time. And the whole time I'm there, I was like, I wish Dave was here to see all this.
That's right.
Yeah. Tough weekend, man. Tough weekend.
That's okay.
I didn't have to save the Cryptogon panel from Bigfoot, but it was just the Bigfoot researchers.
Yeah. So it was kind of found, right?
Oh man, the whole time I keep looking back at the panel, I keep thinking I saw there was an empty chair, and the whole time I was visualizing Dave in the chair shaking his head.
Listening. Had to build my.
Oh,
case.
I know. Well, that's okay, Dave. Well, Dave, we'll have you back next time at CryptoCon, and you can you can speak your mind, okay?
and as I was daydreaming about Dave in the chair, I was visualizing Bigfoot behind Dave, patting him on the back, saying, "Oh, it's okay. We'll get through this."
Oh, we'll make it.
It was great. And Dave, we missed you, but we're glad you're back here tonight. And let's see. Now, Papa Stro, I promised last night on your show that I would give everybody an update on Lizard Man. Okay?
Did he buy shoes?
Not yet. But here's what happened. I went to Bishopville, South Carolina.
Get a
today,
job, Lizard Man.
which is the home of Lizard Man. And they love Lizard Man. They gave me a shirt. They gave me a T-shirt. They gave me a book. They gave me all this stuff. And we talked about how much people love Lizard Man there. And I was speaking with a very nice lady at the Chamber of Commerce. And she told me that there are two stories. The first two stories about Lizard Man are absolutely frightening. And the two people were scared to death about their encounter. So that said to me, need to go back and I'll get more information. Maybe, and I'll ask you two guys this. Do you think if I can find one of those two folks that had the original encounter with Lizard Man in Bishopville, would you let me bring them on here and we can talk to them?
Sure. I just want to know, is that a tongue he's got or is that a fruit roll-up he's been chewing on?
Well, I think it's a fruit roll-up myself, but that's okay.
I will have to be sedated, but yes, I would be absolutely thrilled. But yes, it's going to take probably an IV bag full of some type of sedative to keep me from getting Bigfooty with it.
I bet you he's a real hit with the ladies with that Gene Simmons-like tongue, huh? Little Lizard Man.
Yeah.
Oh,
him
God.
And the abdominal snowman.
Yeah.
The abdominal.
Oh,
yeah. Snowman is he busy doing crunches at 6:30 in the morning?
That's right. He is unlike the abominable snowman that, of course, would be, you know, frequenting the colder regions of the planet. The abdominal snowman, of course, is the 40-something guy trying his best to at least weigh, maybe get not a six-pack, but maybe like a quart going on there in the middle.
Yeah,
and,
you're watching Rick Rude videos all day. Ravishing Rick
Rude
videos.
Right, right.
What I like to have right now for all you fat, out of shape, Minneapolis sweat hogs, keep the noise down. I give the ladies what the real man looks like. Hit my music.
All you Hershey fed heifers. But yes, Lizard Man, by all means, please. Invite them and the guys who had a visit from the aliens from Uranus. Please invite them too.
Oh yeah,
right.
What about those aliens from Twilight Zone that, like, in the Serve Man episode? Like,
or like
him.
The ones that have a mouth for a forehead and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, the one that looked like Lurch. Remember him?
Yeah.
Yep.
The Serve Man.
The burgers like this.
Yeah, I thought he was Edge at first. I was like, no, that's Lurch. Wow.
Ted Cassidy.
When he starts choking, you make him stand on his head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was tempted to do the Addams Family snap with my fingers. Watch
that thing.
Mm-hmm.
But please, John, go right on ahead about the Lizard Man. This is completely. Yeah, now if the Lizard Man was from South Florida, would he, of course, be the Lizard Man? You understand?
Man, okay. Yeah. You got to give it an accent there, yeah.
So, the Scott come out for woods, okay? He says, what you got? You got the stuff? I say, hey, Lizard Man, I don't have the stuff. The other man is supposed to have the stuff, okay?
They still should have put Lizard Man in Scarface. They still should have done it.
I'm writing the script right now. I'll keep on talking.
Yeah. You want a job, Lizard Man?
Tom's over there just rolling his eyes going, why do I subject myself to this?
Well, no, what I'm really upset about is why has no one yet mentioned Anna Nicole?
Because she's not a lizard, man.
And she's scared of his tongue. I'd be scared of it, too.
Oh, good point.
I know
she might be attracted to the tongue.
Well, yeah, knowing Atlanta, you know.
Yeah, I mean, hey.
Yeah, we love Anna. I can't wait to invite you guys when I find her in North Myrtle Beach, invite you to, and we'll have a conspiracy theory lunch. It'll be great. We'll call Greg, though.
especially that one movie she acted during the helicopter scene. Oh, God.
Lord. Remind us about the helicopter scene, Papa Stroh.
I don't know if I should.
Sure you should.
The virgin ears may get offended.
Yeah, it depends on what kind of helicopter you're talking about.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. See, I don't remember.
Simulated helicopters. simulated, whichever you want to call it.
Got you.
Simulated,
gotcha.
Not simulated.
All right. All right.
You don't know where it's going, forwards or backwards.
That's
exactly
must
right.
Be a green, must have been a green screen on, you know what I mean? We were shooting that thing.
Had to have been.
Okay.
I can't imagine flying a helicopter. I feel real safe. Not.
Well, we've got to feel very safe now because from Easley, South Carolina, here he is, the one and only, what's your name?
Wow. International hooligan, Greg Bo Watson.
Wow.
All right, that's
up?
That's great.
What's happening, guys?
Greg Bo. Oh, my God.
What up?
What's up?
What an introduction.
I know. It's great. All right, now, Greg Bo, I'm glad you're on here. You and I I call you too much.
Excuse Dr. John Gregg, but he just got off Dan Nicole's helicopter. Right.
Okay.
John,
that's
what
right.
were you doing on Anna Nicole's helicopter again?
Talking about Lizard Man.
Oh. Well, I've already been talking about Lizard Man. Gregbo, I already sent you a picture of my new shirt. It's awesome. But
guys,
I've
heard Lizard Man all day.
I know you have. Right. I know. And as Papa Stroh said last week, John, is this all you do? Do you just live with Bigfoot and Lizard Man? I said, yep, pretty much. But yeah, it was all good. No, Gregbo and I, we had a really great talk about something.
John calls me, a picture of the Lizard Man comes up on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't doubt it. So I called Gregbo, and we're talking about CryptoCon, and we're talking about the word paranormal. What's interesting is nobody wants to be abnormal, that's right. But nobody wants to be labeled paranormal. I mean, the Bigfoot guys are out searching for Giganticus pithecus. The UFO guys know absolutely UFOs are out there. The paranormal people believe in ghosts. They've seen them. Nobody wants to be labeled paranormal. And
if Lizard Man can play guitar like Gene Simmons, I dig him.
Exactly. And then when I spoke with I had the great fortune to be on International Pagan Radio. And nobody at International Pagan Radio wants to be called paranormal. I mean, I think paranormal is kind of a cool name. It just says, you know, it's kind of different. I mean,
every time you say paranormal, it reminds me of Dragnet, the movie where Dabney Coleman was the Hugh Hefner dude, and he's talking to the Reverend, and he says, "Reverend, you got balls the size of Chuck's bills."
All right. I'm never gonna live. I mean, it's Anna Nicole and paranormal. Now I'm never gonna live it down.
Dan Aykroyd was in that two movie too. You know,
who was?
Tom Hanks and Dan Aykroyd.
Oh yeah.
Well, that was right. That's before Tom Hanks started playing the Oscar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I forgot all about that.
Oscar. The Oscar.
The Oscar for sure.
Ghost hunter guys were paranormal, though. So, what do the ghost hunter guys call themselves? Call themselves ghostologists or ghost awareness ombudsman, or what do they call
Gregbo
themselves?
And I and Dr. John, we met the Bigfootitarians this past weekend.
Bigfootitarians.
Yes, we did.
Did you see that one guy at Cape Fear Con that had the Sasquatch shirt on?
Yeah.
And instead of Sasquatch, it was Sass with the extra S, and the Sasquatch kind of walking around like
Sass.
That was awesome.
Oh my gosh. they kind of reminded me of the Black Widows, Winning Which Way But Loose with Clint Eastwood. Those crooks ran from the Black Widows, and did you see them run when they found out who we was?
Oh goodness!
Oh my goodness!
Well,
man,
Comic Con stars. Yeah, No, it was fun. Nobody wants to be called paranormal. I think paranormal is great.
You know what? Hey, Gregbo.
Yeah, brother.
You know what song I should have brought this past weekend? But I think I'm going to bring it to Bigfoot Day.
What is it?
Well, I should have brought this song, and I swear. Dr. John, I should have brought this too. I should have played this during the panel, right? Like a tape recorder or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know that song? Winning Which Way But Loose called the Orangutan Hall of Fame, the Clive song.
Yeah.
Oh God, I wish I should have brought that.
Oh.
I got out in the VHS on my got a cassette.
Right turn, Clive.
Orangutan Hall
whole
of Fame.
Damn box of Oreos. You damn baboon.
Yeah. Not a baboon,
who
Mom.
The
he's
hell
an orangutan.
Is
he's got 13 ribs just like me and you.
13 ribs, my ass.
Orangutan.
Now
Hall
I
gotta
go back and watch that movie. Thanks. Thanks,
God. Oh, Jesus. I should have brought that, man. I got the song, man, on the movie. I should have brought it. I was kicking myself thinking, oh, God. It's been perfect.
That would have been great.
October 19th and 20th, bring it on.
When he takes
I'm
a dump in that police car, that was awesome.
I'm going to play it when we give him the cake. For the cake.
That's
right. Clyde song.
Now,
you
just
guys
be glad when you got up there to talk this weekend. Just be glad when you got up there to talk this week, this past weekend, I didn't look over at you while we were up there and go, right turn, Clyde.
Oh God! I would have lost.
Because we were talking about that forever.
Oh yeah! Oh, that was awesome. That was the whole time they were talking to us, that it just popped in my head. I was like, "Dang! I should have brought that song, man. That would have been perfect."
Yes, yes, yes.
So
we
I'm going back to the whole
on.
Paranormal thing. What? So
okay.
If they're not paranormal, what do I call them? So that way I don't offend the ghost community like I did the Bigfoot community.
I don't know. I call
I'm trying to shape up here. You guys need to support me.
We were missing you, man. We wish you were there the whole time.
I know.
Oh
that's
God,
what
yeah.
we were saying.
I'd have had the whole building hating me. I told John, I said, the first thing I would have done, I would have walked up there. I would have reached in my pockets before I started speaking and pulled two glow sticks out and set them in front of the lectern there and say, I'm putting these here in case these pricks show up. Yeah.
Hey, me and Papa Strove figured you out a new idea because we were sitting there this weekend and some guys down the aisle from us had these big giant lightsabers.
Uh-huh.
Instead of a glow stick, you could just walk through the wood with one of them lightsabers. They light up.
Oh,
like a giant glow stick. You'd have all the big feet after you then.
And then I was going to break my phone out and say that I had heard that Bigfoot has a particular distaste for Barry Manilow, and I was going to play Copacabana while I was speaking. So just to keep those things away, you know.
Well, you could probably take them all out like the aliens in Mars Attacks with Slim Whitman. With
that
Betty
was
Davis.
It.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
I did too.
I wouldn't play Tom Jones, though, because everybody loves Tom Jones. I mean, hey, Tom Jones, right?
Tom Jones, yeah.
He's Tom Jones, all right.
That's Tom Jones, right?
Oh, God, I still crack up when he sees those three aliens as backup dancers. He says his English voice is, Jesus Christ! I just lose it. I about pissed my pants laughing.
Tom Jones is great. He's like 89 years old and still getting it. You gotta love that. I just want to live to 89, much less still be getting it, you know?
I bet he's seen Bigfoot.
Yeah. Of course, when I get 89, women won't throw their panties at me. They'll throw their Depends at me. Here, take this. Thanks. They felt a little heavier from when I handed them to you.
I didn't hear any.
Oh, geez.
I didn't hear that at all. I don't know what you're talking about. All right, well, we've had our weekend of paranormal. We'll be back next year. So it'll be.
Hey, I wonder why Darth Phil didn't have a lightsaber.
Yeah, I know. Oh, that would have been perfect. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, sure would.
Wait a minute. Darth Bill did not have his saber?
Nope.
No.
He just had Harry Palm.
Wow.
Not Darth, not like a lightsaber.
I would love to have seen him turn around right in the middle.
I thought Darth Bill was trying to look like Bigfoot, honestly. Or Chewbacca.
I do want to see him say to Atwell sometime in the middle of one of Atwell's rant.
Let go of your anger. Let go of your hate. Come to the hairy side.
The hairy side. Yes.
Oh, my Lord.
The hairy
down
side.
Down the dark path. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Oh,
tonight, this is the toughest of the tough crowd, I've ever heard. Yeah, we had a good time, a lot of good camaraderie. We saw our buddies Ronald Rossman. We saw Super Nerdtendo. They were funny. They had people laughing. We just had
Antler
a good
Hill.
Time. And,
Antler Hill.
Yeah, those guys are always great. That's a great bunch.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Yeah.
Right. Now they're going to be at Bigfoot Day. They're going to be playing live in the amphitheater at Bays Mountain Park. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to try to take some of that and have a good time.
Bigfoot's going to join them on stage with a triangle.
Yeah. You'll get one of those annoying recorders like they used to give your kids in school.
We used to play it with
our nose and everything, you know?
A slide whistle.
Him and Boogeyman Jimmy Vance can do the duet together. Do Jimmy Vance old. Remember that Jimmy Vance song he did a while back, the video?
Oh,
I'm
gosh,
a rocker
yes.
and a roller, a little funky too. Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Bigfoot and Boogie.
I know my mom used to get so mad at me because I'm sitting there playing that thing with my nose when I was a kid, and I was like, I play it better with my nose. You don't understand real talent here, Mom, you know?
Oh, man.
We could
film another Harry and Henderson's film movie.
Oh, we could, yeah. Exactly.
I don't know.
Greg
John Lithgow's a tough act to follow.
Yep, starring Papa Stroh and Dave Atwell and Dr. John running for cover. Harry and the Hendersons part two. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be great.
And we had Lizardman on backup playing the soundtrack.
Exactly.
Playing the scales.
Mothman could be the cameraman.
Oh, exactly.
Because he can fly.
Yeah.
He's a moth, man.
That's right. You better be careful. I'm going to Point Pleasant in January.
Point Pleasant, man, Nicole can do makeup on herself.
I think if you're going to Point Pleasant in January, I think anybody related to the Mothman needs to be careful because I have a feeling you're going to be stalking them.
Yeah. Creature from the Black Lagoon and the whole family.
Yeah.
From the Black Lagoon, he's going to be frozen. You know, he's a reptile, so he'll be frozen. Yeah, we don't have to worry about it. Yeah, no, Mothman's going to be
then
great.
You might walk up on another one of those abdominal snowmans if it's going to be that cold.
Yeah, and he's still watching Rick Rude videos.
Yeah. You know when you get you a shirt that doesn't fit anymore and your belly's sticking out of the bottom like Winnie the Pooh? That's an abdominal snowman right there.
Abdominal.
That's great.
He's got orange streaks on the shirt from the Cheeto dust on his fingers and everything.
Abdominal stretch, for sure.
Hashtag abdominal snowman.
Yeah, he's got a hairy back, and he drags a pillowcase full of Cool Ranch Doritos behind him. That's the abdominal snowman.
Oh, Lord.
Greg,
it reminds me of all those. It reminds
me. Yeah,
going. I know, man. I'll have to do one. You know,
I'll give you plenty of material.
Well,
Well, it's like, you know, it's just that time of the year, and all this thought, you know, reminds me of about this time of the year I throw in, what am I kidding? Who am I kidding? I listen to this all year, the Halloween music and stuff. And I have a lot of freaky Halloween songs from, like, the 50s and 60s. Y'all heard of those things?
Yeah.
You know, it's just all kind of weird ones, man, about, like, the creature from the Black Lagoon stopping somebody's car, and, like, somebody had a flat and the creature or the something from outer space helped him out, and just all kind of weird stuff. I'm like, who came up with this? What bizarre.
Well, that,
it was
that's
me,
like
Austin.
Grimm's Fairy Tales. Have you ever really sat down and read the actual Grimm Fairy Tales? I mean, Walt Disney painted everything, you know, to you know, like Snow White and all them, making it entertainment and everything. But if you read the actual original, you know, Little Red Riding Hood and Hansel and Gretel and that kind of, man, I'm here to tell you, you want to talk about some gruesome, jacked up, twisted stuff these guys came up with. And, you know, could you imagine going to a con and them guys are there, hey, pleasure to meet you. Man, you just stay the hell away from me.
Might as well read a Stephen King novel, basically.
I mean, for crying out loud, at least he writes about cars and dogs attacking you. These guys are writing about cooking kids in the forest and wolves eating little old ladies and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I do like some of the stuff I do for Zenoscope is their version of Grimm's Fairy Tales, and it picks up, you know, on like the, you know, the stuff Disney, you know, we all grew up with Disney stuff and all that kind of stuff. A lot of it, you know, Disney got from Grimm Fairy Tales. So it's kind of like picking up where that leaves off. And the Zenoscope books I draw for a lot of times, like, delve right into the horror of that stuff. So when I first started doing stuff for those guys, I said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to check out some of the original Grimm's Fairy Tales. I'm like, there ain't nothing that's been one of those comic books that has anything on the original Grimm stuff that they would put in their stories. That stuff was just plain twisted.
Yeah, you're better off watching autopsies than what you are reading that stuff, because there's some... I mean, dude, there is some messed up stuff in those books. Billy Goat's Gruff is another one, man. I remember reading that when I was a kid. And, you know, back in the day, you know, in the 70s and everything, when I was a kid, you know, we had books back then. I don't know if you guys remember those things. But
what's a book?
Yeah.
Yeah. There'd only be like one or two pictures in the whole thing. And there was one book we had. It had a bunch of Grimm's Fairy Tales in it and everything. And, man, it had a picture of Billy Goat's Gruff. So here I am reading about these nifty goats and everything. And goats are cool. You know, hey, goats are goats, right?
Yep.
And it shows this picture of this troll. And, dude, I can remember up until I was probably about 10 years old, man, every time I'm walking into someplace dark, I'm like, that hairy gray troll better not come out this damn room. I'm going to go on to somebody's hide. Because, I mean, that thing was creepy. And I'm thinking, you mean to tell me all these goats are trying to do is get the other side of this bridge and this fool keep coming out from under there? So every time you walk over a bridge, you kind of looking over the side like, all right, no. Just stay right where you're at. But, I mean, who comes up with this crap, you know?
I had to have read that exact same book because, you know, I have the exact same experience you had. With Billy Goat's Gruff. I loved that story. I thought,
this
is so cool. And loved Billy Goat's Gruff. But that freaking troll, man, that was just wrong.
Yeah.
Something's got to be done about that troll guy. Forget everything else that's going on right now. We just need to focus all of our country's decisions on that troll. And get rid of him.
I got my glow stick. Got my glow sticks. We're good.
Oh, we're set. We're set.
Have no fear.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, if you actually read the whole Little Red Riding Hood, man, I mean, they're the gruesome stuff about that, the woodsman coming through and splitting the axe, or, you know, taking his axe and splitting the coyote or the wolf open and all this jazz. And the coyote. Boy, did I screw that story all up. The big bad coyote. Doesn't sound as cool as the big bad wolf.
Mm-mm.
I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll do something with your house. That's the coyote. That's not the wolf.
It sounds like a Walking Dead episode.
Yeah. Maybe the coyote PG-13 version of it, but.
But that's
that's
the freaking
Stephen
King of their day. Because they would say, instead of just saying, and then they opened the wolf's belly and then found, you know, it's like, okay, they diced it at this angle, took him three swings. Then when he got in there, they kind of moved the spleen over. Then when they went around, I mean, it's just like, what in the world? No wonder kids like went to sleep at like 6 o'clock in the afternoon back then.
Hello.
And then Grandma comes out of the wolf's belly with the "Hello, my darling. Hello, my," you know, it's
a Michigan J. Frog.
I mean, yeah. And people don't get it. I mean, well, there's my challenge to the audience listening tonight. If you ain't got nothing else better to do. I know the Patriots are playing tonight, but they're 2-2. Go read one of those things. And just, I'm telling you, you won't be the same, especially if you go and find an older book. Don't look it up on the internet. Don't go to something that was, you know, published in 2015. We're all sensitive about everything that happens now, and everything has to be aware of everybody's feelings. Go find something published in, like, 62 or, like, 55. And
don't expect
between the illustrations,
a certificate either for reading
and the typeset and everything. Yeah, dude. I mean, just reading the typeset's enough to make skin crawl. You know,
that's the truth.
Yeah, no participation awards. Just read it.
I can see Junior Grimm, the Grimm brothers. Okay, everybody, turn in their book reports, and here they come walking up there with Billy Goat's Gruff and, you know, Little Red Riding Hood. Next thing you know, they're going back to the log cabin with notes in their book bag saying, Grimm Jr., Grimm number one and Grimm number two are excellent students, but they have an issue.
Dude,
there may be some abuse in the household.
That's so funny, though, because that same exact story happened to me when I was in fourth grade. We had to write some kind of Thanksgiving story or whatever, and everybody else was writing about like the Indians or whatever, and I went off Stephen King with it, talking about fourth grade. I'm like talking about, you know, oh, my dad was going to take me on this hunting trip, and I wrote this whole, from the whole aspect of the story, like it was a sweet father son bonding thing, and then I shot my first turkey, I put something like later it turned out that it was my younger brother on the way home from the Thanksgiving Day pageant.
Dressed like
a
turkey.
He was wearing a turkey outfit. Yeah, and the teacher sent a note home, called my parents up there, said I was twisted in a minute, but look what I do now.
That's awesome. Oh, man.
That's like those hand turkeys that you used to make when you were in school. You trace your hand, right?
Yes.
Oddly enough, all the turkeys I used to make only had one feather.
One feather.
Stick it right up in the middle. Good. That's right, boys and girls.
You're number one.
That's it.
The stone cold howdy.
Hashtag one feathered turkey.
you know, you couldn't get away with that. I mean, you couldn't get away with. Well, I wonder what they do now. You know, because you know, even being down here in the South, you know, when Brett was in school, did a lot with this stuff. But I bet you nowadays, you remember? I mean, who on here around Thanksgiving as a class Thanksgiving project didn't make like little paper teepees or the little paper Indian headdress, you know, with like
your
head with like one.
Oh,
you know, we all did that. I mean, my mom still got mine somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Nowadays, shoot, it'd be all over.
Yeah.
Dave, they'd come pick at me for making a Thanksgiving Day feather, Indian feather.
What do they do these days?
Yeah, well,
I mean,
well, I tell you what they do these days. They do
turkey lives matter.
Yeah, there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah. And they get on there.
Turkey
and,
Lives
and,
Matter.
Well, and then they all have – and then they – what I heard they do is they go get a pilgrim-shaped pinata, hang it up in the middle of the classroom,
uh-huh.
and then everybody sits there for 2 hours and just points and accuses it.
And they stand in the middle of the highway going –
like Pedro made for Summer there, Napoleon Dynamite. The pinata, and you got
enough of that. Oh, gosh.
Vote for Pedro.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you talk about you know, it's funny.
I just
you talk about politically correct.
The pinata with candy for all the children.
Open. What happens if you're diabetic? You can't have candy.
And a lactose intolerance or gluten free.
Oh, no, yeah. No malt.
Well, then you
malt,
get sued.
Forget that. Where have you been, John? The easy answer, then you get sued.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was kind of curious, though, when these disasters happen, like these hurricanes that are blowing through and everything. I wonder what all these gluten sensitive people go through when disaster strikes. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like the hurricanes blow through and you have no power for 2 weeks. All these kids with the gluten allergens, how do they live? I mean, do they just go ahead and say, hey, buddy, you know, hurricane knocked power out. You're not going to be able to get your gluten-free bread this afternoon. I guess you're toast. Been good knowing you. Yo, since we got no power, we're just going to make another one of you in case you bite the dust because you're gluten-free.
Might as well eat grass. Eat some grass instead. Grass. Make a salad.
Chris Rock said it best. Chris Rock said, I've never seen an Ethiopian that's lactose intolerant. I mean,
Ethiopian.
There are new food allergens there. It's chow, man. You got to eat, you know.
That's true. Yes, you do.
You know, I'm sorry. You know, coconut doesn't agree with me that well. I eat coconut, and it says two exits everybody out. But if I end up like Tom Hanks on an island somewhere, and all there is to eat is sand and coconuts, I'll just poo. I'm going to eat some coconuts. I mean, who do I got to worry about? I'm the only guy on the island.
Right.
I just poo wherever
son.
I want.
Wilson. Wilson.
Yeah, I'll have to turn Wilson around when I'm using the bathroom. I get a little, you'll get a little shy there. So, Wilson, turn your head. I got to poo some more coconut here, buddy.
I can't go while you're staring at me.
That's right.
You know, when I grew
you know, that's
up,
a trip, though. That's a very
food.
Good point. You know, guys, we're missing the whole boat here. You know, why don't we invent a line of pinatas that have allergen-free candy in them?
Maybe
that'll get Bigfoot. On this show?
Maybe we can find
I'm
Bigfoot
hanging
that
up.
Way.
I'm getting to work on this concept. You guys have a good night. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
Candy
we can
no
find
peanuts.
Bigfoot, Lizardman, Mothman,
yes.
Sasquatch, Abdominal Snowman.
No, that's what we put
snowman.
In there. We put... And the abdominal snowman. Yeah, we put them all in there. That's what we
and
do.
And Nicole, we can find
regular.
Them all.
And absolutely. We got the whole crowd. This is great.
And, you know, we can't put candy cigarettes in there, of course. Can't have those. Anything with.
Those
yeah.
were so
with,
good. Those were awesome.
Yeah, candy cigarettes used to rock, man. Those were good things.
They
I
were.
Mean, granted. You know, you're 5 years old walking around with one hanging out, you know, like you got a lucky strike and you roll them up in your sleeves like you're somebody cool, you know. Hey, look how cool I am. I'm trying to catch lung cancer. But candy cigarettes were actually pretty dang good.
They tasted
oh, man,
good.
I hated
yeah,
those things. I hated those things. Misty came home about 2 weeks ago. I forget where she went. She went, I don't know, some place and had old candy and stuff. And she came in and she's all excited. And she said, oh, I got you some of these. And had like five packs of candy cigarettes. And I looked at them. I said, what? what were you thinking? And she goes, well, I heard you mention candy cigarettes not too long ago. I said, yeah, but did you listen to the rest of the conversation? Those things are terrible.
Greg Bo said, I'm going to do candy vapes.
So out well, I've got about four boxes I can give to you.
Yeah, candy vapes.
Mm.
Oh, Lord.
They used to make those candy cigars, too. Remember those?
Oh,
oh
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But those were
well, the one
better.
I'm smoking right now
bubble
is
gum?
Not candy, of course. It's pretty decent,
yeah,
though.
Like, yeah, bubble gum, right.
Yeah. This is a Liga. Liga has always hit the home run. So, yes, this cigar
not
is pretty dandy.
Chew?
But, no.
Big League
Chew. Oh, God,
yeah.
Big League Chew. Yeah.
You know what? Did you know Big League Chew used to have Chewbacca on it? On the front of the cup.
Really?
Oh, crying out loud. Like,
are you kidding
yeah.
me?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Big League Chew. I used to pop when I see Chewbacca's face with a baseball cap on it. Big League Chew.
You know what? You know what we used to do? Stro, you'll appreciate this.
Bigfoot Chew.
We used to go out and get packets, like a little convenience store up the street from us. In the summer, we'd all go get packets of Fun Dip. Remember that Fun
oh,
Dip
yeah.
stuff?
Oh,
yeah.
And we'd get the packets of the Fun Dip, and then we'd all get in the neighborhood, and we'd have wrestling matches, and one of us would be Kabuki, and we'd put that stuff in.
Spit the Fun Dip.
it never went out like Kabuki's, because, you know, Kabuki used, like, Scope or whatever we found out later. But at the time, mm-hmm. we're trying to do anything we could, and that stuff was just coming out like all over the place. Getting everywhere.
You know, Fun Dip is another one of those candies where I'm kind of wondering who come up with the concept where the guy's just sitting there at the house, you know, and he's going, okay, came up with Milk Duds, that was good. Came up with Sweet Tarts, okay, that was good. Okay.
Sweet Tarts.
Okay, all right. I'm going to suck on a stick, and I'm going to stick it in this powder. Then I'm going to lick the powder off. And then I'm going to
sounds
stick
like a lizard man problem.
Back in that slobber infested. Hey, despite the fact that it's my own slobber, it is still slobber. But here, poink, I got more powder on, and I'm going to repeat the process until I run out of powder and or the drool solidifies all the powder inside the packet.
Not like eating powdered donuts. Had the powder on your nose, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
God forbid. Hello. Do not be the guy who rips one of those things open on your mom's tan shag carpet, because that grape, son, they make tattoo ink out of that stuff. That grape did not come out of anything.
Oh, man.
And then they had Bubblicious and Bubble Yum. You know how Bubblicious used to have the cowboy?
Yeah.
You're like, oh man, that's cool. You get a pack of it. You get this big old square of gum. You put it in your mouth and you chew it half dozen times, and it starts tasting like teeth.
That's where Big Bubba got his name from, Big Bubba Rogers.
Yeah.
Big Bubba.
Oh God.
Big Bubba, no trouble.
Fruit Stripe was another one.
Talking
Fruit Stripe was good stuff about the first six times you ate it, and then after like
the
seventh
zebra?
Chew.
Yeah.
The zebra, yes.
You know what?
I tear up some fruit stripe when I was a kid, though.
talking about that stuff, like, you know, hitting like the shag carpet and everything. It's like my mom had like the shag carpet and everything, and you know, if you were a child of the '80s, you had shag carpet. And so I'm sitting in there, and my younger brother, thank God it wasn't me. Right after, he was 6 years younger than me, and he came along, and they had like, you know, Ghostbusters had just hit. And they had all the Ghostbuster toys, and they packaged that slime.
And
Nickelodeon had slime all over it and everything. And slime was a big thing in the '80s, man. You used to get it out of vending machines and stuff. My mom still got stuff. I guarantee you, my mom still got stains all over that house from all that freaking slime that was going on. I mean, ghost hunters could come in there and do a show, and they'd think ectoplasm all over the place.
Yeah, because it was like congestion.
Yeah.
It was awful. It was green. It came in eggs.
Yes.
I remember what you're talking about.
Do y'all remember that one that came, you could get it, talking about congestion?
after a while, you could go to like a toy store and get this big plastic nose, and then you pull the thing out of the nose, and the slime would run out like snot dripping out of it.
It was called Gooey Louie, wasn't it?
Yes, that was it.
Gooey Louie,
yeah.
Gooey Louie, Gooey Louie.
And I have a
theory. Let me just encourage kids
slime,
to pick their nose.
Yeah.
But I,
dig
I
in,
have a theory
kids.
From where that slime came from. Yeah, I think that slime was recycled, because how many of us when we were kids had a Stretch Armstrong and that like Stretch alien?
Yeah, Stretch Armstrong.
And
get,
and you'd get out there, you and your buddy, and you'd get there and you would stretch that thing as far as it could stretch, and they'd say on TV, it can be stretched and cannot break. Oh, that was a lie. We broke the crap out of one of those things. And I ain't never seen anything nastier than what all was inside that Stretch Armstrong.
Well, it was all fun and games till somebody found out how to pull the head off of there. And they
found out
that it had like a little, like the little Avon decanters where they had like the little twist top on there. And you open it up and like there's this red spooge in there. Yeah. It's, and then, of course, there's always that one nitwit, hey, dude, try to drink this stuff. Okay. Next thing you know, he's in the hospital getting his stomach pumped, and the doctor comes out and whispers to the parents, and next thing you know, you got all the neighborhood kids together. Okay, who put them up to this? Everybody looks at that, Will.
What?
Of course they do.
You all always looking at me. Well, you're the one that's always telling them to do it. I didn't tell him to do it. I told him I bet he couldn't. That's what I told him. Let's be honest here.
Samantha,
and he couldn't.
Uh-huh.
Today
he
I saw on Facebook a good friend of mine posted something on Facebook today. They actually have, you know, those little turtles and rocks that you put your house keys in your garden.
Yeah.
You know, so it's emergency house, emergency turtle and all that kind of jazz, you know. Well, now the crooks are, of course, hip to the turtles and the rocks. They just say, hey, flip the rock over there, it's house key, let's go get in there, you know. Well, now they actually have fake dog doo where you put the key in the fake dog dookie and you send it in the yard because nobody's going to try to flip over dog dookie. So you flip it over, and inside of the deuce there, the key is located, man. Now, how cool is that?
That's pretty cool. Only a master criminal would go for that.
That's what I'm saying. Or at least weighs a guy with a box of gloves when he's breaking into your house.
You got to add that. You got to add that with the pinata that has the hypoallergenic candy. That's perfect.
There you go.
I don't know about that. That'd be pretty. Well, what's the
different
word for it? Well, you know what the word for it is.
See, I just never was one of the cool kids. I just, it doesn't matter what I try. I'm never cool. Okay.
Talking about candy and stuff and all that jazz, you know, we're getting up on Halloween. Didn't everybody love that one neighbor that would always, you know, they'd leave their porch light on, but they didn't want anybody to go to the door, and they put up a sign and said, take one. And put out a whole bowl of candy.
And you always had that one dick friend that would take like a whole fistful and put it in his pumpkin, and I'm walking away going,
You're talking to me, buddy.
Great.
You're talking to me.
Great
I get
pumpkin,
going to
get your tail. And then you had those sadistic jerks that just set stuff up to scare the daylights out of a bunch of seven-year-olds and everything.
Oh, yeah. I was one of those, too, when I got older.
Yes.
I was one of those kids walking by and look at the house, and I tell mom, you know, nah, I ain't going up to that one. I ain't pooping my pants this year. You know what I mean? After a while, I got kind of slick to it.
I'll tell you the worst thing that ever happened to me, though, is a neighbor across the street had rigged up all day long a ghost that would come down on a string, right? Now, that sounds stupid. It was just a ghost on a pulley that would come down like a little sheet or something, you know? But once it started to get dark, I walked up there, and as I was walking, I got about halfway up the little walkway, and he cut on a strobe light and did it.
Oh man!
And that was like the freakiest because it was like wah, 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 and I'm going, holy
nice.
Crap.
I remember in the sixth grade, I was on the committee to set
George
up
Hamilton.
The
once
we had our fall festival at
I
school, and I was the guy who led up the haunted house that year. So I was the
uh-huh.
one who had to like do the committee to put everything in there. So when we got done, you know, getting the haunted house ready, I was like, yes, got this thing. This thing's going to rock. Well, then the fall festival happened. I walk in, I go through the haunted house, and I'm going, well, this sucks because I know what everything's going on. What's scary? I was going to put it there, for Christ's sake. This sucks.
We have the house.
But Halloween's got to be one of the best holidays out there when it comes down to just having fun. And, I mean,
oh, yeah.
don't get me wrong, we all get tore up on New Year's Eve, and, you know, we
that's
all...
That's Papa Ween, you know, my brother.
Yeah, but when it comes down to Halloween, that's just... I know my dad's not listening because he doesn't stay up this late, but nevertheless, there used to be an old family tradition when me and my brother would go trick-or-treating, and, I mean, back in those days, everybody... gave out candy. Nowadays, Halloween, man, you go into a neighborhood and only like two lights are on in the whole neighborhood. But back then,
yeah,
every house had Halloween, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'd go up one side of the street, come back, dump all the loot. Then we'd go back up the other side of the street, come back, dump all the loot. Well, Sergeant Major used to have me, me and my brother would get in there and he's like, all right, surrender the pumpkins. And we'd have to dump our pumpkins out in front of him there on the living room floor, and he'd get down there on his hands and knees and going, all right, y'all don't want these. Y'all don't want these. You don't want these. And he was pulling all the candy he wanted out of our pumpkins, and he's like giving us the editing, you know, you're not going to eat these. You don't like Butterfingers either. Dad, Butterfingers my favorite. No, they're not. Butterfingers, you don't need those. My man used to take my dots, dude. You remember dots?
Yeah,
I used to live for some dots,
those.
And my man would take my dots. And he would leave, like, the pennies and that kind of stuff. He didn't want the pennies. And the little Bible pamphlets and all that cool stuff. Every now and then somebody slipped a Gideon Bible in there. He was like, here, you can have that. I'm like, I don't want that. I want that Hershey bar, dude. You're killing me.
Uh-huh. Did anybody else have a dentist in their neighborhood?
Oh, God.
Growing up?
No.
I had two. Both
was
of
like
them
a peach in your
butt
basket? Yeah.
No, they put in sugar-free gum and a toothbrush.
See, that's dumb. That's dumb. That's not good business planning. If I was a dentist, I would put, like, that super bubble in everybody's stuff by the fistful because that's a walking cavity.
I would put a bag of pure sugar. Just a big
absolutely.
Bag of sugar.
Dixie Crystal. Here you go, kid. Here's some
but
Domino
you know
for you. Happy Halloween.
But you know whose house always ended up getting egged each year?
Who?
use your extra toothbrushes you didn't give away to clean off those eggs.
But I tell you, it's the funny thing about Halloween is that when Rob was a little guy, Halloween for me was always like it. I mean, on November 1st, I was already thinking, what's he going to be next year? You know what I mean? I was already on it. So when Rob was turning 13, he turned 13, and I says, all right, my man's got one more Halloween under his belt before we got to start going recon on it, you know? And so I'm thinking, okay, what can we dress up at? You know, what can we do? So here comes Halloween. So I finally break news to him. I said, hey, there, big man. I says, so what do you want to do for Halloween? And my man looks me in the face and says, hey, you know what, Dad? I don't think I'm going to do trick-or-treat this year. You know, I think I'm going over there and handing out you know, Halloween candy with Pop. And I just stopped. And, I mean, every dad has had that moment where he's got to stay cool but he really wants to cry. And I'm going, well, no, player, look, yeah, here we go. Captain America, what do you think about it? Yeah, Pop, you know, that's cool, but I'd rather pass out the candy over there, you know, over there at my granddad's. And I'm like, and then finally it turned into, listen, you don't understand what's at stake here. This is the last chance I have, you little jerk. you know. But
I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid, and I'm dreading the day when Brett doesn't want to trick or treat anymore.
Yeah,
but
it's yeah. Now that he's 30, right?
He's a
Are you
full
old
of
candy.
Trick or
treat? No. God, God, what did you do? He needs a trick or treat, for God's sake. He's not 12. He eats off the kids' menu.
Well, he looks so daggum young, he could probably pull it off, except for his neck. I swear to God, the boy's all neck.
Of course, Rob nowadays, you know, Rob will be 19 in December, and I don't know where he gets his size from and the way he dresses and everything. All I got to do is just put him out in his regular clothes, and he'll scare the daylights out of anybody. He'll bang on people's doors trick-or-treat, and they're, like, putting their wallets and their valuables in the bag, you know, and screaming and shutting the door.
One Halloween, I think it was about two or three Halloweens ago, Brett was home that night and wasn't going out or anything, and we just got out in the front yard. It got, like, really dark, and we're on this road, you know, we're on the road in Easley where, like, everybody goes up and down that road. When I go to the mailbox, I just hold my hand up. I know, you know, honk, honk, wave, wave. So we waited, and it got dark, you know, and everybody's, like, going down through there. Also, when we pulled out, I pulled out two of those lightsabers like we saw this weekend, those light of deals.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
chasing each other around the front yard. We're like beating the crap out of each other. And people are stopping with their cars thinking we're putting on some kind of big show. They're like, oh, my mama, Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker. And then they get out and they look, and it's just two idiots in the front yard with lightsabers. But the best, she'll kill me because she'll listen to this and she'll hear it. But y'all know how Misty is about her cosplay. So Misty come over here one year, and she was all excited because she'd done this cosplay, and she was doing Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas, right? And y'all seen Misty's cosplay. I mean, she goes to the nines.
Oh, yeah.
So she was full-on Sally, you know. So the first three kids, and this is a crime. A lot of these kids have not even seen Nightmare Before Christmas, and this will tell you how our world is right now. They haven't seen Nightmare Before Christmas. Now, these are like 6-7-year-old kids, right? Haven't seen Nightmare Before Christmas. And then when Misty opened the door with a big smile on her face, dressed like Sally, one little kid, I swear to goodness, I think she probably peed herself and just pointed right at her and screamed and yelled, Chucky.
Wow.
Oh. I'm like, okay, you know who Chucky is, but you don't know who Sally is. All right.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's funny, though, because Rob, and I got to hand it, like I said, Rob, he made being a dad easy because he's just always been a real cool cat. You know how some kids you got, you're scared of everything, scared of the dark, scared of this, scared of that. Rob was just one of those kind of guys, was like, whatever, yeah, right on, you know. So
yeah.
I always had this thing about the Christmas specials. And I don't make a big production out of it. And thank goodness for modern-day television that you have the on-demand stuff so you don't have to be seated at 2000 on Wednesday night to watch Rudolph.
Remember those
one
days?
Time.
Yeah,
yeah, you know, where you had to be there, you know. If you had to work, you know, you just didn't get to see Rudolph that year. Now you can actually watch it whenever you want. So every now and then I'll kind of indulge and, you know, watch one, two, or three times, you know, depending on which ones they were. So I kept telling Rob about the Year Without a Christmas. I said, dude, you got to watch this, man. And I said, it is one of the greatest Christmas specials of all time. I said, it's got the Heat Miser and in the you know, Mr. Heat Miser, you know. Or Cold Miser was my favorite one because I'm a cold weather guy. You know, I'm Mr. 10 Below, you know. Everything that I touch, you know, freezes in my clutch. I'm too much. Well, the whole time I'm rocking out to these guys putting on their show, and you got the slide, you know, you got the trombone with the...
Yeah.
And I'm rocking out. Rob walks up, looks at me, goes, "You know, this is kind of creepy, man. I'm not watching this." And I stop and I says, "Pardon me?" And he goes, "Yeah, Dad, he's kind of ridiculous. I'm not." Next thing you know, I'm grabbing him by the arm. I'm like, "How dare you say this is ridiculous? What's the matter with you? You're not my son. You're not my son. Out of here. You get on out of here."
Same thing. Same thing happened to me, Dave. You know, we remember things a lot better. I don't know about y'all, but we remember things were a lot cooler if we hadn't seen it in years, and we remember how we saw them when we were kids.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Brett were watching, like, Batman Animated and stuff, and it was awesome. And I said, "Yeah, man, this is awesome." I said, "But I grew up on the Super Friends." "Man, wait, I'm just going to show you. I'm going to show you the Super Friends. You're going to love it." I found the Super Friends, and I cut it on. Brett just turns around and looks at me like, I don't know, like, you know, like I couldn't recite my own ABCs or something. And the other one was talking about specials that you waited all year for. I used to wait for, and I remembered it far better. I mean, in my mind, it was like animated by Disney and, you know, everything else. No. But once a year, they had Puff the Magic Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
Jackie Paper,
yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I remembered it like it was, oh, my goodness, this high-budget, high-animated situation. So I told Brett, I said, "All right, I found it. We're going to watch it tonight. And, oh, you're going to love it and everything else." And he's just looking at me all skeptical like. Later that night, I get him pinned down. I'm like, "All right, it's Puff time." That thing comes on, and it looked like a bunch of squiggly lines. I'm like, "What the crap? What is this?"
What blew it for me is when I found out that Burgess Meredith did the voice.
Yes.
And I'm going, all I can picture is Mickey going, "This guy's going to kill you, Rock. Come on, you bum."
Or the penguin. talking about those animated things, and my dad got me on this when I was a kid. Have y'all ever seen the animated Watership Down?
Oh, yeah. That was excellent, though, dude.
Oh, my gosh. It was so excellent. But, see, my dad sat me down and put it in context. You know, my dad put it in context for me and everything, so I watched it. And if anybody hadn't seen it, you got to check out Watership Down. They're going to be doing a remake here soon, I hear. But, man, you got to check out the original animation for this thing. It was just incredible with the death rabbit and all that stuff. So, you know, but Misty, y'all got to know Misty. So Misty loves cartoons. If she could watch cartoons 24/7, she'd be a happy girl. So Misty, see, is going through all these animated cartoons on this Raspberry Pi thing we've got, and she's sitting there and she goes, "Watership Down, oh, cute, it's about a bunch of bunnies," and she's never seen it. And I didn't have the heart to tell her, but, you know, so man, I wanted to watch Watership Down, so I just kept my mouth shut. And Missy's just sitting there the whole time with her arms crossed, waiting for the rabbits to get up and, like, dance and sing a song about friendship or something. It hurts me when this is over, and she goes, "Who could have ever come up with something like that?" Those poor
the bunnies,
bunnies
are like Nazis and everything.
Yeah, and they've got their own Grim Reaper. You know, the Grim Reaper coming to get the bunnies. Oh, gosh.
Because the one had, like, metal teeth and everything, and, I mean, they were beating the daylights out of one another in that show, and it's like the spirit rabbit and everything. Because at the end, you know, not the spoiler alert, but the one curls up, and it's like he was 119 years old as a rabbit, and then finally the spirit rabbit got him. And I'm like, dude, that sucks. Couldn't we just left that part out? You know, it's, you know, they won. The good guys won. Okay, I got the warm fuzzy. Now all the good guys are dead? Oh, that sucks. Who the hell wants to watch this? But, yeah, it was awesome. The book was awesome. And, and the animation, I talk about it all the time. You remember the Sids and Croft Lord of the Rings? Okay.
Yeah.
You watched that, though, and I believe it was
Rankin,
the same
Rankin,
group that did.
Rankin Bass.
That's it. Yep. Absolutely. You're right. I think they were the ones who did Watership Down. Are they not?
Very possible.
I'm
going to check that out because you may be right.
But that was some creepy animation. If you're watching that stuff, you know, and you're like, and then every now and then you work with a guy that looks like one of them off of that cartoon, and
yeah.
you just don't want to be near him. You know, you're eating your sandwich in the break room, he comes in to get a soda, and you get your sandwich and go somewhere else and eat it. You know, it's like, man,
right.
I apologize for all these airplanes going over. I must be in like a, I'm sure you can hear that right now. No, I am not under attack, though it does feel like it.
Well, you know, it's Bigfoot mating season, so they're flying back and forth, you know, the honeymoons and stuff. So.
They're spotlighting for the abdominal snowman.
Perhaps
I need to change my shirt.
The President Trump did say on the television, like, maybe like an hour ago or so, mentioned something about he had some military leaders at the White House, and he made a comment about the calm before the storm.
Yep.
And these reporters are asking what the storm was, and the last comment he made is, you'll find out. I'm like, okay.
Terrific.
Yeah.
I saw that too.
What's going on in North Korea?
There about those planes.
Here we go. World War 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Hey, but we have the lizard men on our side.
That's right.
Yeah, Bigfoot.
That's true.
And then Nicole flying helicopters.
Yeah.
I think the abdominal snowman lives in North Korea, and he's already there. And he's got a funny haircut.
I believe so.
Well, the abdominal snowman ain't there for sure because, I mean, look at the leader.
Yeah.
You know, not to get off on a political tangent, but this thought had come across me, you know, this past week when we were talking about the kneeling stuff with the NFL. I'm thinking if there's no other reason to be proud of the flag in the United States, it's the fact that we don't all have to cut our hair like our leader. Because can you imagine all of us with Trump's haircut?
That would be awesome. Yeah,
it would. The Trump cut.
Somebody else is under attack. That one isn't me. Which one of you guys was under attack?
You know, as I've been talking this whole night, I've been noticing the same thing. I'm out here power walking, and I've lost count of how many planes and helicopters have flown by me. It's crazy.
I mean, it's – but in the old NK, if you will, those guys, all of them have to get the same haircut as Kim Jong-il or Un or On or
Uner.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever. Uno. Pick four.
Kim Jong-un and Nicole.
There you go.
That's right.
I mean,
but
we're talking about
imagine?
Conspiracy theories. Look no further than what's been going on this past week. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Talk about something that doesn't make sense.
Okay, I got something for you. You know, John was talking about, you know, topics and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody heard about the astrological event that happened back on September, 23rd?
Where the world was going to end that day or something else?
Well, here's the thing. Of course, every day somebody's got some kind of crackpot thing about the world coming to an end or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Misty and I were going down the road, going to eat some Mexican, which we are known to do down the road from us. And she started telling me this story about, you know, oh, this is on the 22nd. And she was telling me, tomorrow on the 23rd, the stars are going to line up in a certain way for the first time in, and I'm kind of tuning it out, you know, because I'm like, okay. And so then all of a sudden I started picking up on some stuff she's saying. I'm like, hold on, wait a minute, this is getting interesting, which got me in trouble and almost slapped. But that's beside the point. She was telling me that based on the verses in the Bible and Revelation,
mm-hmm.
for the first time ever, and guys, look this up, because it's all
mm-hmm.
over online and everything, but I'm going to get this wrong, so again, pardon me and look this up, but apparently Virgo, right, the Virgin,
mm-hmm.
was going to be in a position on the 23rd where the moon was at her feet. The sun was going to be on Virgo's right shoulder, basically cloaked in the sun, like the verse says.
Uh-huh.
A crown made up of, I think, 9 stars, and basically Leo made up all but 2 of those stars. But it just so happened that 2 of the planets, like Mars and Venus maybe, were lined
uh-huh.
up with it, which gave the extra 2. And then Jupiter was coming in such a way that it made her look on the 23rd like she was pregnant. And then the orbit of Jupiter, it was like right there at her belly. And then after the 23rd, it starts coming down like giving birth.
Uh-huh.
And Misty was telling me this whole thing. And, you know, that's one of the signs, you know, in the Bible. And,
uh-huh.
you know, look in the stars and, you know, you will see a sign in the sky. And it was talking about all this. And this
uh-huh.
is the first time in recorded history that these have ever lined up. And they were saying that it was going to be like the signal, not like the world is going to end on this day, but like it was the sign of the end times. And with
uh-huh.
everything that's going on, all the hurricanes, natural disasters, mass shootings, craziness overseas. It, you know, I'm not one that subscribes to these things, and I'm not saying, oh, yeah, okay, that is definitely a sign or something like that. It's just, to me, very odd.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that passage of the Bible, it says, the sun will be black as sackcloth and the moon be as blood.
Yes.
Remember
yes.
that one?
Yes, yes. And we just
well,
had
I remember
this
whole, Mayan calendar gig, and I didn't
yeah.
like I didn't pay my utilities for 2 months because I figured why bother, and then I got up the next morning and it was still there, and I'm like, damn,
you were so mad
having to scrape up all this money to keep my lights on and everything. It's like, Jesus Christ, I thought the world was supposed to end. I'm calling up the electric company. Look, don't cut off my stuff. I just thought everything was going to be over. I didn't see paying you guys.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. My bad.
I guess that's what you get for smoking too much of the peace pipe, right? It was mine.
That's right.
That's where all the money went.
But Dr. John,
yes,
sir. Pardon me. Y'all have airplanes. I just had a motorcycle like involved in the Cannonball Run or something go past.
Oh, nice, dude.
But
nice. Chaos.
What? Yeah. Too bad we didn't run into Sheep.
Got
them
tails.
Thought they were into that guy.
Oh, yeah. Exactly, right? Or him, JJ. Him. But Dr. John, be sure and look that up and put a link to it or something up on the page or something like that, because it's just freaky enough to be interesting. You know what
uh-huh.
I'm saying?
It's yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's just like too much stuff lined up.
I can tell you what it
you
is, though, is that
back,
you know, hundreds of years ago, there really wasn't a whole lot you can do with your spare time. It wasn't like you were out playing Candy Crush when you had nothing else going on, or maybe, you know, watching some old videos or something on YouTube. So you really had nothing else better to do but to study the stars. So you get somebody
yeah.
like me back in. Hey, what's up? Just speaking to Dale, of course. Dale said hi to everybody out there in Radio Land.
Hey, Dale.
But leave it to some sadistic wise guy like me. I'd be sitting there with a slide rule going, okay, in 2017, on September 22nd, Virgo is going to line up. This star is going to be here, and the sun's going to be there in the May. Okay, now I need to write something. Okay, it's going to look like Virgo is giving birth, and then I hand it to my buddy, you know, and I'm like, you know, back in, you know, like, you know, 600 BC, I'm looking over there at, you know, Dr. John Stroh and Greg Bowe going, guys, I'm going to write this stuff down. These people are going to be crapping all over themselves 2,000 years from now, dude. What do you see this?
Exactly.
I know, and it's like, but what's funny, what I love about that whole thing Atwell just said is Atwell believes, like, he's like, man, some guy like me way back then, dude, that'd have burned you as a witch back then. They pronounced you a witch, and you'd have been a mistake.
I'll tell you what's so bad about me tonight at work.
Just, you know, remember Gung Ho? Remember the Japanese boss? He went
to
Michael Keaton, and he said, "I like you. You make me raff."
Raff hard. I raff. I raff.
You make
hard.
Me raff.
I've got it so bad that yesterday at work, you know those little canvas cash bags that they use at the bank? Well,
yeah.
The young lady who works in the cash office at work, I took a zip tie and tied all of them together by the little zipper.
Oh,
so when she picked one up, she pulled them all off. She's like, "What in the world?" So now, of course, she's on this thing about every time she sees me, she's going, "Oh, God, here he is." So tonight, I went into the cash office. I pulled her chair out, and I put her stapler right in the center of her chair, just the stapler. And then I took a sticky note and drew a simple smiley face in the middle of it and set it right there and pushed it under her desk. So when she came in, she pulled it out, and all she saw was this smiley face on a sticky note and a stapler. She come out of the office like, you know, it's like a saw or something, you know?
Saw. Want to play a game?
So I could picture me back, you know, in 400 BC, and I'm sitting around, you know, okay. Hey, guys, you remember that trick I did with the pyramids when, like, the stars line up and everything? Hey, get a load of this. Hey, I'm going to do this. These guys are going to be, they're going to be having a freaking fit.
Come across an ancient text written by the ancient philosopher Run It's Him.
Exactly. That's like Nostradamus. You know, they always talking about his, you know, quatrains and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I still think that he was probably the greatest prankster on the planet. He's probably going, "Hey, I'm going to write this stuff. I'm going to write this stuff that they're going to have some, you know, giant city is going to get a tidal wave." Well, no kidding. Every damn city back in those days were getting knocked over by waves and everything. They didn't have Jim Cantore back then.
Here's my thing about Nostradamus. I used to really honestly think, hey, you know what? All right. A lot of this stuff is bunk, but there's a couple of things that are in there that you just can't deny and blah, blah, blah. Well, in 2016, before the election, me and Blondie sat down and watched thing on Nostradamus, because I was still kind of like, oh, okay, let's just see, man, because, you know, see what this is going to have to say and everything else. And they had this whole thing where he wrote about, instead of Trump, wrote the trumpet, and then versus the masculine woman, you know, you think, you know, with the pantsuit
and
everything.
Yeah, that's and Hillary,
like,
all right.
And I'm sitting
there,
Hillary. You know, what happened? Why did I eliminate the head? But anyway, so you know, I'm sitting there, and they're deciphering this thing, and it's about a week before the election this thing came out, and they're sitting there talking about how Trump will be defeated. He'll come close, but he shall be defeated, and all this kind of stuff. So it's like, well, that killed Nostradamus for me, buddy. Like, it took Donald Trump to take down Nostradamus for me. Nostradamus,
okay,
he's
so
lightweight.
This is how it's going to be. I'm going to take this guy down. He's big. You know, Nostradamus, he's huge. He's so huge. He's just huge. He's great big. I mean,
huge.
There's nothing huger than Nostradamus. He's not huge. He's giant. He's big. He's enormous big. He's huge.
You sound like Christopher
Next
Walken.
A lot of people say about Nostradamus that he knows what he's talking about. Me, lightweight.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, how many times did you say the world was going to end, and we're still here, and my water bill is still due? So I did catch it up for those of you wondering out there.
Big bad wolf.
Thank you very much.
Bad wolf. Woof, woof.
For us folks living paycheck to paycheck, the world ends every day.
Yes. Talking about all that stuff, you know, talking about
Boy, that's
Trump.
A little optimistic. Woohoo.
Leave it out,
just
Will.
Party.
Cheer everybody up. So, you know, all that stuff, you know, with the election and all that stuff. And then when I saw Hillary wrote a book, you know, it said, "What happened?" And so I'm sitting there and I'm drawing, you know, and I keep the news on during the day.
you know, being a good civic-minded person.
So, well, you almost have to nowadays.
I know, to know whether or not you need to go outside or not, so or can go outside. So
yeah.
I'm sitting there and I'm watching the news, and then lo and behold, not only did she write a book, but she had to go that one step further and torture everybody and actually read the audiobook herself. And I don't know if y'all guys heard a clip of this, but it sounded exactly like when I take a text edit document and tell my computer to read it to me. I was like,
oh, wow.
Goodness.
Yeah, somebody make it stop.
You might.
I ran up Andy Kaufman, read it to me.
In my younger, and the
Latvia voice. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Me, I'd get Cheech Marin to read it, so that way you get the old, okay, man, but look here, man. Like, all this stuff. Trump get in the White House, man. It's all going to go wrong, man. It's all about gun control and equal rights and all that good stuff, man.
I'd vote for Eric Cartman from South Park.
Oh, I'm all over.
Yes.
I've been trying to get Gumby into the White House for years.
Gumby.
Oh, God.
Lord have mercy.
I'm still waiting for Clint Eastwood
Gumby,
to run.
Gumby, that's Saturday Night Live was funny. I'm Gumby,
yeah,
damn it.
Yeah, my name's Gumby,
y'all remember, because I was watching something on the Little Rascals the other day. Every once in a while, I'll go in and watch some documentary on YouTube about these old TV shows. I watched one on Gilligan's Island and one on Little Rascals the other day.
Yeah.
And the Three Stooges.
Oh, man.
And,
Eddie Murphy's
and
the
greatest
buckwheat ever.
Ever. So you know what I'm going to talk about. You know, when he did Buckwheat, you know, yeah. You remember when they did that Buckwheat Has Been Shot?
Oh, God.
All night long, they kept breaking in.
That was hilarious.
Breaking in to let you know, Buckwheat has been shot.
And the look on Eddie Murphy's face when they freeze frame it. I mean, it's like,
yeah.
How they were able to do that. You know what I mean? It's just epic. That was pure comic genius. I watch Saturday Night Live now, and it's just too darn political to be funny.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Back then, it was just plain funny. I mean,
oh yeah.
When
now,
he did,
now
I miss the samurai, the Subway Samurai sword guy that John Belushi used to play.
That was great.
Or
there's
Bill Murray with the baseball been very, very good to me.
Or him singing Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the only thing I've seen in recent years on Saturday Night Live that has been roll in the floor funny was last year around Halloween, and it involved Tom Hanks, Mr. Oscar.
Mm. No.
David Putnam. Has anybody seen this?
No.
Oh, my Lord. He goes, everybody, you know, this family goes to a haunted house, and
yeah.
It's called 100 Floors of Terror. Woo! This old abandoned hotel.
Yeah.
And they go up, and the first three floors, it's like the girl from The Ring, you know, an axe murderer, all this different kind of stuff. Then it goes to the third, and it's just a bunch of wink, 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 you know, all this techno music. And all of this is Tom Hanks wearing a pumpkin. He's wearing a suit made out of pumpkin Halloween material. And they actually sell that this year. I told Misty last year, I said, mark my words, that's going to be a Halloween costume next year. And he'd go, I'm David Pumpkins. Any questions? and the couple keep looking at each other, and they're like, what's scary about David Pumpkins? Is he like a local guy or something? And like the next 60 floors were David Pumpkins. And the expression on Tom Hanks' face, it was almost back to, you know, we were talking the other day about how he's, you know, gotten into that whole Oscar role where he plays himself practically, plays the same guy over and over and over. This takes you back, him doing David Pumpkins. Look it up. If you want to see Tom Hanks today playing the bosom buddies role
from when he was
yeah.
young.
Yeah.
You know, the Burbs, you know, Joe, even Joe versus Volcano, you know, stuff like that. You will see him doing this for once. This is your one glimpse into the greatness that is Tom Hanks.
You know, right now, if you have HBO or Cinemax, HBO, it's either one of the two of them, on demand, has Bachelor Party. And
really?
I watched that last week. I haven't watched Bachelor Party in years, and I'm telling you, it was made in 84, and I thought I was going to pee all over myself laughing. That movie still to this day.
That's awesome.
When the donkey ate all the lewds. Killed a mule. I want to kill myself. He's got the electric razor on his wrist and everything. I mean, Tom Hanks was phenomenal. Why he didn't win an Oscar for that movie is beyond me. He was beyond excellent in that movie.
Tawny Katane was in that movie too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, sure enough.
Yeah. Wow.
Back before it happened. And we all know what it is.
Okay, are we ready for the news? We got news here. Newsflash. Saturday Night Live's David S. Pumpkin sketch gets animated Halloween special this year, 11:30 p.m., October the 28th. Tom Hanks to voice the character.
Oh, nice.
David S. Pumpkins. David S. Pumpkins.
The other good one was Justin Timberlake playing the tofu. If they could get that one back. Yeah, when Justin Timberlake was playing the tofu. That was funny.
Yeah. That was funny.
But, I mean, all the stuff the Saturday Night Live used to do was genuinely funny. I mean, it was. But now it's just, like I said, it's lost all of its punch. You know, everything has to have a point now. And
political preaching.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Even cartoons. I've said it before. If you watch an old Tom and Jerry or an old Bugs Bunny, I'm sorry, dude. There's nothing funnier than Yosemite Sam dressed up like a pirate, and Bugs Bunny stands on the side of the ship and goes, "Yoo-hoo, Mr. Pirate!" And he runs through and he looks through all the old gun, you know, and then finally he keeps getting blown away with the cannons, and he does a, "Ooh, that's funny." But you watch these cartoons now, and all of them have to have a point. All of them have to have a story. All of them have to have a moral to them. And I'm going, as jacked up as the world is right now, do you think it's actually doing any good? You know, give me some Uncle Pecos from Tom and Jerry. If there's anything that'll fix a bad day, it's Uncle Pecos doing the whoa, you know I can't play guitar without a guitar string.
That's why I say if I'm going to be watching cartoons, I watch, even South Park's got a little political nowadays. And the one I watch most right now is Rick and Morty.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
Rick and Morty is laugh out loud.
Pickle Rick. At Meeseeks. When Meeseeks got on there, I'm Mr. Meeseeks. I'm here to trim 2 strokes off his golf score.
He was so horrible they couldn't do it.
I'm here to kill you. No, I'm supposed to kill you.
Do you see the one where Rick went into space, you know, and they got called to be part of like the Avengers or whatever their version of the Avengers was. And Rick got blackout drunk the night before they were supposed to go fight the villain, and he took down the villain, took down all the villain's sidekicks and hooligans and stuff, and then he created his own trap for them because he was sick of them being so pretentious.
Oh, man.
Well, what's so funny about the whole Pickle Rick thing is that the reason why he turned himself into a pickle is so he didn't have to go to a family gathering. And for any of those guys out there, there has been a million times when I didn't want to go to the in-laws, and I wish I could have turned myself into a pickle. You know what I mean?
Well, Dave, we're in a pickle. We got 15 seconds to go. Thank you. Thank you, Papa Stro Maestro, Dave Atwell, Greg Bo Watson, another legendary Comic-Con stars. We'll see everybody next week, right?
Right on. Yeah.
More pickle talk next week.
Pickle Rick.
Pickle Rick.